There's one thing I'm going to do. And that is, I'm not going to try to interpret what God tells me. I'm going to preach what He tells me. And so you may look at this morning and you may just take it the opposite of the way it's meant. What I'm basically ministering on is how Satan tries to hinder us from fulfilling the calling that God put on our lives and how sometimes we allow him to. It's nothing negative at all. Because every one of us has gone through stuff that has hindered us from completing the mission at that point that God had for us. And so often we look at people in the church and we say, you need to be ministering, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. And there are times that people in the church are going through struggles that they have a hard time taking hold of, and they really don't know what to do. We're going to deal with that this morning. What to do when you don't know what to do. The Bible says, if you see someone overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But let me ask you a question. What if you're going through the struggle? What if you're the one that needs somebody to come and help you instead of you reaching out to help someone else? So how do I get through the tough times in my life so I can help someone going through the tough times and I don't sit there waiting for something to happen to me? Woman taken to Jesus. John chapter 8. And the people that brought her had stones in their hands. I know they were tempting Jesus. But if Jesus would have said, go ahead and stone her, what do you think they would have done? They would stone her. Because they wanted him to be, his reputation to be tarnished. Okay. Take your hands, close them, just hold them up, close them. Now, if you are one who likes to throw stones at people, open your hands. Let the stones go. This is a no-stoned church. I guess you'll get that. So, we come to a place. Well, let's look at another one. There's a man by the name of Ananias. Ananias is found in Acts chapter 9. Ananias, sleeping one night probably, peaceful sleep, had a good dinner, laying there, and God says, go talk to Saul. Huh? Do you realize that everything changed or nothing had changed in Ananias' life? And he says, but God, he's killed Christians. He ain't good, folks. You know, and God said, yeah, I understand that. I'm sorry, but you're dispensable. Go talk to him. Right then, Ananias was wishing somebody else was up in heaven. But he went. Because God said he's a chosen vessel. And you're not the one that's going to suffer, but he's the one that's going to suffer. And so Ananias went. Saul's sight came back. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Kind of had an important ministry, didn't he? And you say, where are you going, Pastor? Philippians 1:6. I want to read this to you, and then I'm going to talk to you, every one of us. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. I want you to learn something this morning before you walk out that door, go back into that world, face any kind of adversity. God said we're going to make it. Don't shake your head. I'm not preaching some foreign gospel. God said, with me leading you, you got everything under control. When you get away from the leadership and start doing it on your own, you could have a few problems. Being confident, having the boldness to say that God is leading me, I cannot be defeated. But saying that and looking like you're a winner can be two different things, right? Do you ever say something and then hope to come to pass? Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. Many Christians are speaking and hoping that through speaking they believe. And so, as we come to this, God's plan to fulfill is the fact that he's going to use people to accomplish what he wants to do. Did you get that? But you know something else? The enemy has people he's assigned to destroy you. You say, what do you mean? I don't read that in the Bible. Go a day without the armor of God and see what happens. Go a week without the armor of God. Go a month without the armor of God. Say, I'm going to take on the devil all by myself. Good luck, because that's what you're going to need. People will build you and people will try to destroy you. How do I know that? Seems like in John 15, Jesus said something like this, because they loved me, they're going to love you. Is that right? What was the word? So why do we get surprised when somebody has bad taste and don't like us? And so there are people that's coming to you who are going to speak encouragement. They're going to edify you. They're going to build you up. They're going to strengthen you because they're hearing from God and coming to do that. And there are people, sometimes religious people, sometimes other people who will come to you with a purpose in their heart to condemn, to destroy, to sidetrack, to catch you, to blindside you, and to kill you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you know something? We need to be prepared for both. We need to listen to what God is telling us. We need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and not have some kind of bipolar spiritual relationship where one day we're up, the next day we're down, the next day we don't know what we are. They used to call that schizophrenia. But many Christians just go from one crisis to crisis to crisis simply for the fact that they don't know how to have a relationship with God that's relational, and they're listening to the voice of God who is edifying and building up and strengthening, and all we get so beat up that all we hear is a negative. Listen, folks, we don't do well with negative. We don't do well with negativity. People want to come in here and will come in here because we care. Because we want to support them. Because no matter what they've been through, it doesn't matter. People have a good way with the devil's help of messing up their life. Anybody know about that? And then they'll go to some church and the church will say, well, you don't fit in. Fit into what? Well, we're the first church of the sanctified. And you ain't got no sanctification. Do you realize Jesus didn't pick out the sanctified? He went to the sinner. And we've all been there. You know something? If this makes you afraid, I don't care who comes through that door. Carol, do you ever have a problem? Yeah. Do you ever get the left foot of fellowship? You know, God had a call on your life from the first time you walked through that door. You know that, don't you? And so did Satan. But you learned to listen to his voice. Why? Because you folks loved her. You say, what did we do? How did we do it? Like Kirk said, Jerry, just give somebody a hug. Do you realize that when the leper came to Christ, nobody for how many years ever hugged him? Except Christ? Look at this. When a person touched a leper, the person that touched the leper became unclean. When Christ touched the leper became clean. Amen. When people walk in here and you touch them and you minister to them, they're going to find freedom. Amen. Do you know why? Because that's God. That's God. That's what God does. So you're going through this period of time, and man, the heavens seem like brass. You ever been there? Seem like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? They never do, but it feels like it. How many of you have feelings? You're looking at me like I'm talking to a chair. Do you have feelings?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Somebody go take people's pulses, will they? I want to see how many have died during this message. And so God is trying to get your attention through your personal crisis. Well, let's learn something. You ready to learn something?
Yes, sir.
Don't treat man's voice like God's voice. There are people that are going to try to get your attention through being naughty. Don't take that personally. How many of you have ever read, the devil comes to do what? So why wouldn't people serving him do the same thing? Used to be, and maybe still is, there used to be an evangelist by the name of Rick Godwin, traveled with Benny Hinn. He had a question and answer time. I was listening to his tape, or he was preaching, and someone came to him and said, "Man, the witches are praying against us." And his response was, "What do you think they're going to do, send you flowers?" Do you know something? How many of you believe that Satan hates God? What can he do to God? That's all he can do, if you let him. All he can do is try to take you down. So, as believers, we have to have a different perspective. We live in this perspective, well, I know I'm going to be attacked. I know that someone is not going to like me or persecute me. I'm not going to do anything to make that happen. But the God in you is hated by the Satan in them, and they're going to retaliate. Is it okay to expect that? But why do you want to allow someone who's a loser, the devil, to try to take from you and try to make your mind focus on the loser instead of the winner? We focus so much on the negative and what's wrong and what the devil's doing. Stop it! Take a moment and focus on what God is doing and the Holy Spirit is doing and what Jesus has done. And listen to the right voice. Listen, this walk with God is not about getting people's attention. You'll get more attention by being flowing in the Spirit of God than you will be by getting beat up by the devil. So we come to a place where we start hearing what God's saying through every situation. Every situation. It doesn't matter what Satan is saying. We know he's a liar. We know that he's out to destroy us. We know he hates God. Why would then he want to bless some of God's children? It doesn't happen. How many of you ever read Jeremiah 29? How many know what it says? Does that fit for you? Huh? Does that fit? Does that work? No, you're not going to. I go to the Old Testament for once, and now you're not going to talk to me. I know the plans that I have for you. What's the rest of that? I can't hear you. Give you a future and a hope. What part of that means destruction? What part of that means fear or worry or anxiety? Nothing there. He said, then you're going to come to me and call on me, and I will hear and I will answer you.
Yes, amen.
Maybe, at least in my life, when I'm facing things and I go to God and He has the answer, maybe that helps. Ye have not, James writes, because what?
Yes, not.
Let's become asking people. Asking is better than stewing, unless you're making meat and potatoes.
Amen.
Because very often when something happens to us and it hurts, or we're discouraged, or we're frustrated, we stew. Mm-hmm. I don't mean cooking.
Yes.
And what's our mind doing? It's spinning. Mm-hmm. You know, I I love Jeremiah 29, but I love Jeremiah 33 just as much. Put this in your repertoire of verses. How do we spell that? Jeremiah? Repertoire? I don't even know what that means. It just came out. It's amazing what you say under the anointing. Thirty-three, three. Let me read it to you. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
How about verse 6? Behold, I will bring it health, or you health, and cure you. I will cure them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Skip down to verse 8. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name, and you shall be to me a name of joy, of praise, and honor before all nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto you. Sounds like I got a lot to be afraid of. Are we okay with what God says?
Yes, sir.
You know, and I've been there. We hear so much, we think so much, we fear so much, we worry so much, and we miss so much of God. And God's saying, hey, time out. He didn't call us to make our life miserable. He called us to make us free. And it's amazing. In Ezekiel 36, he says, I'm going to do a work, but I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to do it because of my great name. I'm going to give you a new heart and give you a new spirit. I'm going to take out the heart of stone and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. This was still under the law. God said, you need a heart transplant. You know what a heart of stone means? You don't feel. You don't sense. And so God comes on the scene. He says, enough of this. I'm going to take out that old spirit. I'm going to give you a new one. I'm going to take out that heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to make you people who feel and sense not only earthly, but spiritually. You know what that means? I don't always have to have my way, and I don't always have to be right. Because I have nothing to prove. Jesus walked that way for 33 years. Nothing to prove, nothing to gain, nothing to lose. We okay?
Yes, sir.
I knew someday I'm going to preach so hard I lose my voice, but I feel this. I sense this. How many people you know that just need a safe place to come? It's not about the preacher. It's not about the worship. It's not about a whole lot of stuff. It's that people have touched God and love Him and love one another. Therefore, we praise Him. And you know something? I give you permission to take off all the religious masks and be yourself. Come on. Be real. Because you're helping real people become real. And if they walk in and they sense that you're real, we're going to let them become real so that they can act like they're real and they don't have to be in bondage.
Amen.
You don't have to prove anything. I love that. I can sit down now and take a nap and tell you to go home. And I'm still pastor. Shelley didn't say amen. I'm hurt. I'm not preaching no more. She ignored me. Wow.
That's medicating.
I'm going to be medicating.
Good thing you're preaching a message on what to do when people hurt.
Yeah, now I know. I'm leaving. So we carry a lot of excess that we shouldn't carry. And I can say every day, but man, I'm human. This is how God made me. Did He? Then that's why He wants to make you a new creation.
Amen.
Think about it. And so we begin living our life. And the more we're sharing Jesus, the more we're living, the more it makes Satan mad. And somebody's going to say something. And somebody's going to even say something about your Lord. And somebody's going to do this. And somebody's going to ignore you. And you're going to be left off the Christmas list. And you won't get to hunt Easter eggs. And at your family reunions, they put you away from everybody so you can't talk to them. So what do? I listen to God. And every time God tells me to say something, I say it. Every time He tells me, back away, don't say nothing. You don't have to get in somebody's face. I back away. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
So what does that allow me to do? It allows me to do something that every one of us needs to do, and that's learn how to bless people and learn how to forgive them. How many of you, I better be careful, maybe I'm the one you wanted to strangle. How many ever one to shake somebody and then tell God that's the way you found them? No, that's your past. You got a new heart. I'm not making fun of that because that's very serious. But no matter who we are, there comes a time when we'd like to see revenge. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
We'd like to see that. Somebody hurt me. Somebody did something to my kids. Oh, don't ever do anything to my kids. Or my grandkids. Because I will hit you with a bat. And I will tell God I found you that way. Should I pray for him? A lot like the pastor. A woman says, I'm giving the church $3 million when I die. Do you think you ever prayed for her healing? Hello, first time. And so we come to a place where we're carrying hurts and we remember exactly how it happened. We know who did it to us. And I double dog dare you to walk in front of my car. And so we go through life, and God is saying, bless your enemies. And we're looking at them saying, well, the wages of sin is death. I hope you get paid soon. And we walk this life out full of things that we know aren't right. And we're not condemning that person, but we're getting condemned ourselves by ourselves. And then some preacher stands up on Sunday morning and says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You can't do that. Or in the Old Testament, you killed somebody, you had to kill them. In the New Testament, you hate somebody, you killed them. What do we do? How many of you ever said the Lord Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses, how?
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
Is that still in effect?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever read the end of that, next two verses? If you forgive others, I'll forgive you. I'll let you read this next verse after that. Read Matthew 6 today. Because there's a law of forgiveness. It's not a law of the Ten Commandments. It's a law, a spiritual law ingrained from Jesus Christ, who demonstrated forgiveness for us on the cross as he hung there, as Barb said, held there by his love for people. And on that cross, he said, Father, let's get even with them. He didn't do that, did he? He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so we carry things. We hold things in. And what's it doing? It's not hurting them. It's killing us. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the person that you don't like dies. And so God is saying the actions of the believer toward people who hurt us is to bless them and forgive them. Okay. There are evil things people do. molestation, rape, murder, slander, lying, doing things to people. And in the back of our mind, the enemy wants to tell us you're okay with those feelings. It doesn't matter. You can do it. You can have those feelings. You can have those emotions. There's nothing wrong with that. You're only human. But you're not only human. You have God living within you. That makes you superhuman.
That's right.
And so what do? I come to the God living within me and the God on his throne, and I say, God, I want to forgive. I choose to forgive. With your help, I can forgive. How many things does God ask you to do on your own? And so when something happens to me, I get hurt. My childhood was ruined. I go through things. I just come to him and say, God, this is what you want for me. This is what your word says. Now I need your strength and your power to carry on with it. And you know something? He has no problem with that because he's already doing that in your life. He's already helping you. He's already encouraging you. He's already assisting you. He's already speaking to you. He's also forgiven you. And this is why. Because you are his light on this earth. And wherever you go, you light up the place. But when your countenance is down and you're walking around in discouragement and you're walking around hurting and you're walking around feeling the condemnation that the enemy's throwing at you and you're just not living, the light just isn't shining as brightly through your eyes as God wants it to shine. Do you ever look in people's eyes? You can tell a whole story. You can tell who's been hurt. You can tell who's going through problems. Why? Because that's how God made us. And it's so easy to say they don't deserve it. Anybody ever say that? They don't deserve to be forgiven. That assumes something. That assumes I did. That assumes that everything Jesus did on that cross, I deserved it. I didn't. And you all can say amen to that. I didn't. I didn't. God wants you to be the best. He's designed your life, your purpose, to be conformed to the image of Christ. To be conformed to the image of Christ. I have to let go of things in my life that are not conformed to the image of Christ. And unforgiveness is one of them. It's not all of it. I just let it go. And as people come in, people whose lives have been miserable, broken, hurting. I'm there to meet them and set them free, because that's what Jesus did to me. If you're carrying that weight, that burden today, just ask God to give you the strength to let it go, because He will. He loves you that much. And as you go through things, as people are naughty to you, as they persecute you, as they laugh at you, they make fun of us at times, first thing we say in our minds, I'm not going to hold that against them. I'm going to forgive them. They're being instructed by the devil and they don't know what they're saying. Man, this place went to a morgue. Why am I saying that? I was sitting right there during the week and God gave me Philippians 1:6. Throughout the whole week as I sat here, He began to put everything into perspective. I'm not going to change what He told me to say. Because some of you need just to know that whatever you've been through, He loves you just the way you are. He just loves you too much to leave you that way. Because He's working in all of us to bring about His building here in Sisseton, or whatever community you are, to radiate His glory.